A look into the future of ADS-B from Honeywell's Roger Dykeman. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into the special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. Automatic Direct Surveillance Broadcast, or ADS-B, has been a buzz phrase for a few years now, and it's often described as a fundamental building block of next-gen air traffic control. While it's not clear when or even if it will completely supplant ground-based radar in the U.S., ADS-B is at least now available off the shelf, and it's important we all learn more about it. Such an opportunity arrived at AEA 2011 in Reno back in March. ANN's Jim Campbell got to speak at length with Roger Dykeman, General Aviation Director for Honeywell Aerospace, a company which has recently announced some aggressive moves to expand from high-end jets into a wider general aviation marketplace. We'll hear that conversation over two parts, today and tomorrow.
Roger, obviously, a company like Honeywell has not only a vested interest in what happens to ADS-B, but to a certain extent, you may be guiding the tiger in many ways here as we look at the stronger and high-end commercial aspects of what ADS-B will mean for our future.
Yeah, Honeywell certainly is an industry leader in ADS-B technology and is working very hard with the industry leaders in Washington and the FAA to guide those mandates and those technologies that go forward. Honeywell is investing heavily in ADS-Bs, particularly in the air transport and business aviation markets, and they have several products that are coming to market and are already fielded for that market.
Right now, from the standpoint of what we know our future for ADS-B will be, and let's face it, it's due to change in about 10 minutes. How is the industry set to embrace what's coming?
Well, from a technology standpoint, a product standpoint, we're very well positioned. We have a lot of very good recent technology from a hardware standpoint that is able to accept the software that is going to be required. Most of these mandates, at least in the recent current mandates, require software changes to accommodate. A lot of the some of our older or harder platforms won't accept that software, but our newer platforms are ready, are technology ready for the software upgrades for ADS-B.
When we look at the commercial and business aviation applications as versus what we've discussed so far in general aviation, what are going to be the sticking points? What are the things that we in aviation need to be looking for, the milestones in ADS-B for high-end commercial and business aviation applications?
Well, some of the, of course, the mandates that are out there, those are the ones that we know of and, like you say, may change in 10 minutes. Of course, we've got the FAA and Eurocontrol. Those are the two main targets. Eurocontrol has the forward fit in 2015, aftermarket in 2018 with the FAA in 2020. There's also some Canadian Hudson Bay work. Those are kinds of the sticks in the ground that we're currently driving to for ADS-B out. And those are, of course, the mandates are all around ADS-B out. But from a cool factor or from where you really get the benefit at the customer level, it's ADS-B in. While ADS-B is not mandated, it certainly is an easily leveraged technology as a part of the ADS-B overall plan. And we've got some really great products that use ADS-B in, particularly around a product we call Smart Traffic, that'll take ADS-B in and provide a lot of cockpit information for those pilots and for those operators to get better operational performance and also preferred routing through certain airspaces.
Let's talk about Smart Traffic. What I'd like to talk about first, if you would, give me an overview of what the product entails, but I'd also like to talk a little bit about the guidance that you have as a company to go into markets like this. How do you develop something like this, especially with a program that you know is following a roadmap that's got twists and turns in it?
Well, you obviously have to be flexible. I'll address the last part first. You have to be flexible to... Yeah, you be very, very rubber bandish. And you have to pay attention, right? I mean, these things change day to day, week to week, year to year, and you really have to pay close attention. And we have industry watchers that work closely, like I said earlier, with the industry to make sure we understand what those changes are and try to shape them so that they're friendly to the market and friendly to the business side of this. So with that, we do follow very closely. So with that, we created Smart Traffic. You want to talk about the product, Smart Traffic. And it has basically five elements. It has cockpit display of traffic information. It's an enhanced cockpit display of traffic information. In other words, it takes that ADS-B data and puts it right in front of the pilot. And there's more information in that data stream, and we provide that on a specific display so you know more about the traffic that's around you, their flight IDs, their weights, a lot of information that helps with other parts of this technology, like in trail procedures where you can follow, you know exactly where people are around you, and you can get closer spacing. From a distance standpoint. We also have vertical spacing that you can improve on with ADS-B, and enhanced combination surveillance where you take the ADS-B and combine that with Mode-S typical TCAS, and you combine that information to get much better situational awareness and also longer range situational awareness. And we also, the last piece of that is surface. So we got the airborne things taken care of. You know exactly where all the traffic is around you, but we also combine the surface elements into that same traffic solution so that when you land, you also get information about the surface traffic out there. And an extension of that is indication and alerts around that. So there's surface information, and then there's indications and alerts. So that's basically the elements of smart traffic.
More with Honeywell's Roger Dykeman in a moment. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News. Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020. Welcome back to the Aero News Special Feature. ANN's Jim Campbell is talking with Roger Dykeman about next-gen ATC technologies in general and Honeywell's smart traffic in particular.
How do you develop a concept like that? I would imagine that an initiation meeting for a program like that's just got to be a little bit like herding cats.
Well, it is a little bit. There's elements of it that were just, okay, that's really simple. We know we're going to do that. But we also worked with some of our partners in the air transport world. A lot of the smart traffic elements were worked in cooperation with Airbus. There's an A300 or A330 program that we're working with the Turkish Air Force, or Turkish Airlines, and a lot of the smart traffic things are being developed with them. In fact, they're a launch customer for some of those products. So we worked with a lot of our partners to develop some of those ideas and create a product out of that.
I can't imagine what it takes to staff a program like that, to find the kind of minds necessary to not only change an industry, but to shape its future. Tell me a little bit about the kind of teams that are involved in putting together programs like this. Talk about having to gather the smartest guys in the room.
Well, and for something like this, definitely have the smartest guys in the room. And Honeywell has got a lot of smart people. I mean,
So I've noticed.
Well, I'm not one of them, but but there are a lot of people out there that are very, very smart, and they get these people gathered, and we have a very good strategic plan around this. It all starts with a good strategic plan, and that boils down into a product plan, and that boils down into an execution of that product plan at the engineering level. So you just have to have those elements put together, and out of it comes a pretty good product.
I would imagine. Now, when you're speaking with a voice as dominating as Honeywell, and especially from the standpoint of where you sit right now in commercial and business aviation, is this a situation where you're able to really affect the direction of these programs, or is this basically sit back and take dictation?
Oh, no, we don't sit back. No, in this market and in this industry. No, it's not. And we certainly have resources in Washington and in Europe that work with those CERT authorities to try, again, shape those things. Now, we're not always successful. You know, things happen that aren't necessarily as friendly as we'd like them to be. But we do have we do try to have a hand in those things as they get shaped. We have a good Washington office. We talked about Chris Benenson and those folks out there. They do a great job of helping Honeywell understand what the intent is, and also helping the industry understand what Honeywell would benefit from.
What's been the attitude in your efforts so far with conventional Washington. Of course, Eurocontrol has to be just a whole different ball of wax. That's a very eclectic and very interesting mix of minds, and particularly in regards to how much they want to dictate the policy for the future.
Now, I have to restate the question.
Let's start with how are they to work with, and what are you finding and learning to work with each of those entities?
Well, I don't work with them directly, but from my experience working with the FAA, it's usually very collaborative. They're very good people to work with, but then again, they have different goals and objectives than we have. So it's not always armor on their shoulder and all happiness. But at the end of the day, we do seem to come up with a good product plan. Now, Eurocontrol is a different challenge because while they're together, they're still a bit fragmented from country to country, and so getting a consensus out of that team, it does seem to be a bit more of a challenge.
Let me do something here that's a little different from the standard audiences that we're working with, because a lot of our material will get used in various areas, but for the general public that's very interested in what's going to happen to Grandma when she jumps onto Southwest 1885 to go to Duluth or whatever the case may be, what is this going to mean to the public's concept of air travel? Will they see this? Will they feel the difference?
Yeah, they will. They will. From several aspects. You're going to feel it from how long it takes to get there. You're going to feel it from how much it costs you to get there. Because in the long run, when all these things really come to fruition, they're going to see reduced fuel costs, because these things help airlines get up and get down faster, which means reduced fuel costs. They help them get to where they're going because they're more direct routing. They'll reduce the spacing, so you get a lot more capacity out of those airports. So you'll see bet in cost improvements, and you'll see faster routing. So time and money, you'll save both of those in the long run.
One of the things we noted, especially talking with ATA and others when these subjects that initially came up over the last few years, was, oh dear God, they're going to ask us to spend more money. And then the studies started showing pretty convincing evidence that there were going to be some serious economies of scale. Do they get it now? Have the airline bosses really understood that what this means to their future?
I think it's starting to sink in. But, a bit of my opinion is that it's not so much the mandates that are going to drive the value to those airlines. It's the things that companies like Honeywell and others are adding value to those technologies, like ADS-B-N. There's a lot of value in what we can bring to that technology, and it rides on the ADS-B-OUT technology development. So really the benefit, in my opinion, is going to come from the ADS-B-N. There is some benefit from ADS-B-OUT to the operators. Really, ADS-B-OUT is a huge benefit to the FAA, to NextGen, and there is some payback in that, but it's a little harder to see for the industry. At least, for a Boeing and an Airbus or a Southwest Airlines, it's a little harder to see. But when you get into the technologies that Honeywell's developing, for instance, those have a much more direct benefit to those operators in fuel savings and route time savings.
In tomorrow's conclusion of this interview, what are the differences in the application of ADS-B and other new technologies between the airlines and business aviation? Roger Dyckman is the General Aviation Director for Honeywell Aerospace. Find out more about the company on the web at www.51.honeywell.com/aero. Jim Campbell is ANN's founder, CEO, and editor-in-chief. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.